what may have been a tragic, terrible situation, and he's going to work it for our good. I believe that so many people have been closed in and shut up for so long. And the Lord just showed me that, listen, that he wants to cause a spiritual awakening in our community. We've been praying for that. And what remind me, in the book of Joel chapter 2, they were experiencing a pandemic as well. A locust plague had devoured the economy, shut down everything. But Joel was used of the Lord, and he said this. He said, but after this, say after this, God gave Joel a promise, a word. He first of all, he told him, even now, it's not too late. He said, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. And God began to tell him, listen, it might look black. It might look bleak, and it might look dark. And he says, but listen, I will rebuke the devourer, and I will restore everything the locusts have destroyed. And then he said, and after this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I believe that God is about to do it. How many of you believe that he's about to do it? And I just sense in my spirit, listen, and he said, and young men shall have vision. I'm still young. I'm still having visions, y'all. He said, and old men will dream dreams. And he says that your sons and your daughters, they'll prophesy. And upon my men and my women servants, I will pour out my spirit, saith the Lord. And I just sense as we were praying, God was saying to do this. Listen to me. We're going to throw one of the biggest party our communities have ever seen. When things begin to open up, we're going to have an outdoor service. We're going to set up a platform. We're going to have music. We're going to feed the whole community. We're going to provide groceries to everybody. And we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to set up a baptismal pool outdoor. And we're going to believe. Come on. How many of you believe that? Anybody bear witness with that? Some of you may have been with us many years ago, about 15 or more years ago. After Hurricane Katrina, we did what was called Wild Jam, winning our world for Jesus. Anyway, and the Lord just told me, we're going to do our own Wild Jam here. And so I want to know, those of you that have a heart, you love God, you love people, and you want to see your community reach. We would have a Wild Jam, and we would fill this community with 2,000 or 3,000 people. And we would bless our community. We would give gifts. We shared the gospel. We saw hundreds and hundreds make decisions for the Lord. And the Lord said, he's going to do it again. Come on, let's thank God. Oh, yes, he will. And so I want to encourage you. I could have preached that. I could have preached a message this morning after this, because I believe that God is about to open it around. He said, weeping might endure for a night. But come on, somebody who says it. But I say joy. I'm telling you. Joy is coming in the morning. God is turning it around. You know that song said, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around. You ought to get excited, because God is turning it around. If you believe that he's turning it around, I'm telling you, I sense it in my spirit. God said, listen, get ready. I'm talking about God is opening things up. And what the enemy might have meant for bad, I'm talking about God says, I'm working it for your good. Anybody excited beside me? Oh, come on, give God a shout. Come on, this too shall pass. I'm done. We're seeing the end. This pandemic is going to pass, and God is going to turn it around. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, I started to get excited this morning. He's turning it around. You know why? You know what? God loves people. And I don't care what it looks like. God loves people. He loves people. You got to understand, that's the heart of Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish. I'm telling you, it's been amazing what God is doing. And I'm telling you, God has used a pandemic to reach people that we never even thought possible. I'm telling you, listen, I got a report from somebody in New Jersey. I got a report from somebody in Maui, Hawaii. I got a report from somebody in Lafayette. It's amazing how God is using what we, listen to me, God closed down the building so we can get out of the building. Somebody give God a praise. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me. That's for everybody. Let me tell you, that's for everybody. Everybody got to take your place. Every teacher, you got to go in that classroom with an expectancy. God's about to move. If you're working in the bank, you ought to work in the bank. Come on, God is going to do something. You got to believe. Listen, that's what's called an expectancy. How many are expecting God to do something? I don't know, but please. That God is about to open the heavens. He's about to reign in this place. But you got to have an expectancy. I want you to begin to go, when you walk on your job, say, God, it's a day to day. Come on. The people are going to say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Come on. I've been seeing you. I've been seeing you having joy. I've been seeing you honoring God. And I believe they're going to want to know, what is it? And you're going to tell them it's Jesus. Amen. And so I want you to be expectancy. I want everyone here, just begin to have an expectation. God, I believe you're about to do something. I've seen him move. Come on, he moved the mountains. Come on, I believe you. How many believe he's going to make a way? How many believe he's going to do it again? Come on, say he's going to do it again. Oh, I feel it. I've seen him move. Come on, it's not just what happened yesterday. He's going to do it again because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, y'all get me too excited up here. Oh, I tell you, they sung that. That was prophetic. We seen him move. He moved the mountains. I believe he'll do it again. Come on. He made a way. Come on. Come on. Look at somebody. Say, he made a way. The fact that you're still here, he made a way. Come on. The fact that you're still praying, he made a way. Come on. Listen, others are not here, but you're still here. Look at somebody. Say, I'm still here. I'm still here. The fact that you're still here, he made a way. And he's going to do it again. Oh, yes, he will, Zena. I'm telling you. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm telling you, God is about to do something. And so we have an anticipation and an excitement. Now, I tell you, we've been doing a series. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. I'm so excited that you are so good. You love us so much. You so desire to use us, Lord. You want to use us more than we want to be used, Lord. God, you love people. And your word reminds us you're not willing that not one person perish, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord God. Oh, we love you so much. And Lord, this morning I pray that as for the next few minutes, we just open up the Word of God and we share what I feel you've put on my heart. I pray that we won't just hear your Word, but Lord, that we'll commit to do your Word. For you say it is the doer of the Word that is blessed in all that he do. So Father, today, take your Word, write it on the tablets of our heart. And God, we commit today, not just simply to hear, but to do your Word. Bless your people now. I pray that they let the words of my mouth and the very thoughts of my heart, let them all be pleasing and acceptable to you. God, get me out of the way. So that, Lord, you might speak through my thoughts, my mind, and my mouth. Use me as your mouthpiece today, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, you know, we've been teaching a series on what it means to be disciples. And we looked at the verse, John 13:34. Jesus said, a new command I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. How many disciples I have in the house? Raise your hand. Amen. How many are devoted followers of Jesus? I'm not going to use that word Christian. It don't even have any meaning anymore. But how many disciples I got in the house? Raise your hand real high. Come on, look around. We got some lovers of Jesus who committed to be followers of Jesus. Well, I want you to know, listen, this is a true story. In the 4th century, there was a plague that broke out in the Roman Empire. And it was a terrible plague, and people were dying all over the place. And it was so bad in the cities that people began to flee the city to the countryside for safety. However, in the midst of everybody fleeing, there was one group of people who stayed behind, and it was the Christians. And this was the Romans observed. He said they tended to the dying and to their burial. Countless numbers with no one to care for them. In other words, the pagans, they left their own family members and fled. They just fled the city and they left everybody behind. It went on to say they gathered up the people and they distributed bread to those who had withered from a famine. Because of their compassion in the midst of a plague or pandemic, the Christian deeds, this was the Christians, their deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. That was written in the 4th century, true story about what they observed. Listen, the last Roman emperor, his name was Julian the Apostate. Listen what he wrote. He was the last Roman emperor. Listen what he wrote. He recognized that the Christian practice of compassion was the one that was one cause behind the transformation of faith from being a small movement to spread to the entire Roman Empire. Writing to the pagan priests, he said, when it came to caring for the poor and the neglected and the overlooked, they were overlooked by the pagan priests. But these impious Galileans, that's what he called these Christians, observed the fact they devoted themselves to philanthropy. He said, listen, they supported not only their own poor, but ours as well. And all men see that our people lack aid from us. In other words, here was a Roman emperor who was worshiping all these pagan gods, and he looked at the Christians and he said, listen, we don't even care for our own poor, but they care for not only theirs, but they care for ours as well. They understood what Jesus said, and here's my text. I want to read a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Dr. King said, I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great of a burden to bear. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43, here's my text. I should title it, How to Deal with Your Haters. Anybody got any haters in here? Now, some of you ain't raised yet. Here is probably one of the most challenging of all of Jesus' sermons or sayings in all of the Bible. And it's, how do we love our enemies? I'm reading Matthew 5, verses 43. Here's our text. And this morning is my text. We've been talking about how to love like Jesus. We looked at, to love like Jesus, we got to forgive like Jesus forgave us. We said last week, if we're going to love like Jesus, we got to speak the truth in love, just like God. He washes us with the water of his word. Everything he says and does is to bring out the very best. And today we're going to look at, if we're going to love like Jesus, it means we got to love our enemies. I'm reading Matthew 5, verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Does not even tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I want to put this in the context because we hear these words, but we don't put it in the context of where we live today or even understand the context in which Jesus wrote these words. We cannot even fully imagine the Roman occupation. The Jews hated the Romans because they came in, took over, set up a puppet government, made them pay taxes, oppressed them. There was injustice everywhere. There was persecution everywhere. A Roman soldier ruled by force. And a Roman soldier can walk in a town, and if he got tired, he can say, no matter what you're doing, he can say, listen, here, carry my bag. And you had to carry it at least 1 mile. And the penalty, there was no, if you didn't do it, you was punished severely. We can't fully understand. Long before Derek Chauvin put his knee on George Floyd's neck, Romans practiced putting their feet on the necks of their enemy. George Floyd wasn't the first to cry out, "I can't breathe." And so the Jews hated the Romans fiercely because of their oppression. Long before there was Black Lives Matter, there was Jewish Lives Matter. Y'all think protest is something new. There was a group called the Zealots among the Jews. They were radicals who believed in, they were a political party among the Jews who believed in overthrowing Rome by force and by violence. Sounds like something we see today, don't we? Doesn't sound like a little bit like Black Lives Matter, doesn't it? And to this very group of people, Jesus comes and uses the most radical words. He said, you've heard it said, the religious leaders had taught them it was all right to hate those who hate you. They put their foot on your neck, you put your foot on their neck. But Jesus dared to say, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them when they curse you. Do good to them when they hate you. And pray for them when they despitefully use you. I want to look at three aspects of what it means to love our enemies. Because right now, as the American church, we're not doing a good job. Right now, when the world looks at the reputation of the church as a whole, we cuss like they cuss. We retaliate like they retaliate. We hate like they hate. And our culture today has become so divided because far too many people who claim to represent Jesus have not represented the Jesus of the Bible. And so let's look at what does it mean to bless those who curse you. First of all, the word bless means to speak well of, to wish good health, favor, and protection. It means to ask God to bring his mercy and his goodness on someone's life. To bless is not just, it's not just to speak well, but to wish and to think well of somebody. See, sometimes it's not just what we say, but what we think towards others. Anybody got some people in here you don't like sometimes? Nobody will raise their hand. Because we often talk about, Enemy is often too strong a word. So I put in parentheses, how many of you got some people in you you don't like? Just raise your hand. Let me just see. How many of you going to be honest? The rest of them that don't raise their hand, some of them people lying. But listen, how many of you know there's somebody that you don't like? Anybody in here beside me that there's people you don't like? Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has some people I don't like. Anybody ever lied on you? Anybody ever took your name and took? Anybody ever been lied on? Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one. You like the people who lie on you? You like the people who slander you? Everybody would deal with. Listen to me. Jesus went on to say that the reality is if for following him, people will hate you. It's just part of following Jesus. Jesus said, you will be hated because of me. But how do we handle when people, what does it mean to bless those who curse you? Let's first of all look at the word curse means to wish hurt, to wish harm, to wish misfortune, to wish injury on someone. It means to resort to using profane or bad or nasty language or words towards someone. I'm reading an article by Dr. Michael Brown. He's a Christian. He wrote this. The title of the article is, Should We Call Down Fire on Our Enemies? He said, recently, I was alarmed to see Christians praying with great fervor online, calling down divine judgment on those who they didn't like or who they assumed committed voter fraud. There was no concern shown for the state of their souls. There was no fervent cry that God would save them or grant them repentance. Instead, their prayers were for destruction. The evildoers must be removed. He goes on to say, this is not the spirit of God. This is not the spirit of our Heavenly Father. This is not Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples who are on their way to Jerusalem, many of you know, I believe that sometimes we're more like James and John than we are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus tells the story. You know, he was on his way, he was about to be crucified, and so he wanted to take a shortcut through Samaria. And James and John, and so when he got to the gate of Samaria, the Samaritans wouldn't let them in or wouldn't let them go through. And James and John, you know, they were zealous. They were called sons of thunder. They said, Jesus, shall we call fire down from heaven on them? I'm going to read it verbatim. James, Luke chapter 9, verse 54 and 56. And his disciples, James and John, saw this. And they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Now, how many of Elijah called down fire to consume the sacrifice? They got it mixed up a little bit. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I want to say that again. For the Son of Man came not to destroy, but to say, Jesus was saying, no, we do not call down fire on those who insult us and mistreat us. This is not the purpose of my mission. I've come to save people and not destroy them. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. What would happen when somebody posts all kind of negative stuff about you or say something you disagree with? Instead of cussing, instead of retaliating, instead of insulting, we send a blessing to them. We say, I'm praying for the favor of God on your life. I'm praying that God will overtake you with his goodness, his favor, his blessing. I want you to know the God I serve. He loves you dearly, and I'm wishing you the best. What would happen if we begin to, instead of acting like the world acts? See, Jesus went on to say, anybody can do good to those who do good to them. Anybody can bless those who bless them. He said, listen, even the publicans, you know, people hated the tax collectors because, you see, they worked for the Roman government. They were betrayers. You know, imagine they were the first Uncle Tom. And they were working, they were Jews, but they were working for the Roman government and taking taxes and taking money from their own people. And so you can imagine how the Jews hated them. And Jesus said, listen, even the tax collectors take care of their own. Even them, they bless those who bless them. See, it's easy to love people who like you. But the real test, if we're going to pass the love test, is to love people who don't like us. To say good things about people who may not say good things about us. I'm going to be honest with you. When I looked at this, I'm reminded sometimes I look more like James and John than Jesus. I've been convicted by this more than anything. I'm telling you, of all the messes I've talked about, my wife and I was sitting up one night as we were just thinking, and you know, I said, Angela, you know, sometimes it's easy to reject people who reject us. It's easy to embrace people who embrace us. But sometimes, you know what, we reject people who reject us. And I'm just talking about in the church. Sometimes when people left the church disgruntled, I might not say nothing out of my mouth, but sometimes in my thoughts. See, God see our thoughts. Man look on the outward, but God can see your thought. He see what's on your heart. He see what you're thinking. And I began to go through. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I made a list of all of the members, ex-members of our church who left the church. And I started highlighting those who left disgruntled, who left angry, who left hurt, who hate new wine. And I made a commitment that God, by the grace of God, it goes against my nature, I'm going to find a way to bless the people and to do good to them and to pray for them. I believe that's the first thought. So I got a list of people, and I just, because sometimes I need grace. Anybody beside me need grace to love? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Can you imagine how radical this is? This is radical even for people in the church today. We like to identify more with Malcolm X than Martin Luther King. We got some zealots in here. They hurt you, hurt them back. They cuss you, cuss them back. And sometimes we more identify with the world than we do with Jesus. Hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. I'm going to choose love like Dr. King said. Secondly, Jesus said, do good to those who hate us. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate us. I'm going to say again, how many of you got some haters? Here's the reality. I've learned people are going to hate you for several reasons. Sometimes they're going to hate you because you're successful. Sometimes they're going to hate you because you got aspirations and dreams. Y'all remember the story of Joseph? Joseph in the Bible, he was his dad's favorite son, and his dad made him a coat of many colors. And the Bible says his brothers hated him because of it. And then Joseph had a dream from the Lord, and he saw himself ruling over people. And the Bible said they hated him all the more because of the dream. Now, let me just tell you straight right now. If you want to be mediocre all your life, then guess what? You'll probably be accepted by the masses. But if you dare to be different, if you dare to say, God, I want to be great in God. If you dare to have a dream and say, I want to make my mark for God. I want to do something for the Lord. I want you to know, if you dare to have a dream, then I want you to know people are going to hate you for the dream. How many have discovered that people are going to hate? Anybody in here discovered that, listen, if you dare, long as you have, some of you find, long as you was the co-worker, you was all right. But if you got promoted to be the supervisor, all of a sudden they don't like you no more. Long as you was working with them, you was all right. But when you decide to go start your own business, now all of a sudden they're hating on you, who you think you are. Anybody discovered that people will hate you just because you decide to break out of the mold? And sometimes people will hate you because you don't fit the mold. And Jesus says, I say to you, do good to those who hate you. This is not always, it's never easy. Romans 12 says it this way: if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, people think that's bringing judgment. No, that's not what it means. It means that, in other words, you'll bring conviction so that your good will overcome his evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, let me just say, there is a human tendency in all of us that when people hate us, we might not say it that way, but we hate back. When people reject us, we reject back. It takes something supernatural to do good to people when they hate you. And that's why we got to follow Jesus' way. You know, I want to share an example, but I don't want to give too much detail so y'all don't know who I'm talking about. My wife said that's correct. But some of you go try to figure it out, but I hope you don't. But anyway, sometimes it's direct. Let me just. There was a person in this community who not only disliked me, but he let others know he disliked me, and he wasn't even embarrassed to let it be known he didn't like me, and. And so you know what? My reaction was, well, I don't like you either. Two can play that game. But how many of you know that's not Jesus? And literally, you know, we've been blessing our community throughout this pandemic and finding ways to feed people and bless them and so forth. And I just want to give it up. It's been amazing with our volunteers. Some of our volunteers come and they come get food and they bring it to people who are sick, who are shut in and elderly. Let's just thank God for all of our volunteers. They're doing an amazing. Don't pat the cake. Come on, they're doing an amazing job. And one day I was bringing home, somebody made me a basket of some goodies and stuff like, and I was bringing home some goodies. And the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit. See, he's the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit, you know, because the devil's not going to give you an idea to do good to somebody that hates you. How many know, if the devil tell you, if you get a thought in your mind to go give somebody who dislike you some money, how many know that ain't the devil? If you get an idea to go do good to somebody who trying to hurt you, I'm telling you, it's not the devil. We want to rebuke that. We want to say that I rebuke that. But I was on my way home, and I had some stuff that I liked. One of the workers put some stuff together for me. And the Holy Spirit said, "Won't you give it to that person who you know dislike you?" Satan, get behind me. But you know, I'm telling you, God is my witness. I brought it to that person. And you know, their attitude their attitude has completely changed towards me. Because you don't overcome hate with hate. Only love can overcome hate. Come on, let's give God some praise. I say love will win the day. And Jesus said, if we want to do it his way, you know, when Jesus wanted to give an example of what it means to love our neighbor, he used an example so we don't catch it today because we don't understand the context. But the story of the Good Samaritan is really a story. It was the Jews was appalled by Jesus actually saying that because it was a Jew that fell along the side of the road. And the choir member passed by. He saw the person in need, and he passed by and went the other way. And the preacher came by, and he saw the need, and he also passed and went the other way. But a hated Samaritan, the Jews hated the Samaritan. And the person that they hated, a Samaritan, came by. And when he saw the man in need, the Bible says he had compassion on them. And he went and he began to bandage the man's wounds. He began to pour in oil and wine, which was a form of medication, and took what he had. And then he brought him to a hotel and put him up and said, if he needs to stay longer, put it on my dime, I'll take care of it. Gave the hotel owner his credit card number and said, if it's costing any more, just charge it to me. The Jews was appalled because the preacher didn't do it, the choir member didn't do it, but the very person who was a hated Samaritan, he was the hero of the story. And Jesus said, I want y'all to love like that. That's what it means to love your enemy. That's what it means. It means to show compassion. See, compassion looks beyond people's faults and it sees their need. Compassion looks beyond their racism. Compassion looks beyond their judgmentalism. Compassion looks beyond it. I'm going to share an example. Many of you know that there was a gentleman in our community, a business owner, and during the heated election and stuff like that, somebody tagged something on my Facebook page. I didn't even put it. Well, he went and began to, just slander my name, saying I'm a abortion lover and like killing babies and I'm preaching and sending all my people to hell. And he went. And then he talked about my mama. Now, how many of you know that's fight words? Now, it would have been easy to address it online. But you know what I did? I knew this person. He's a business person in this community. I could have told all of y'all and nobody would ever go do business. I could have posted it in a newspaper and nobody, and they would probably shut the business down. But you know what I did? I waited till it was almost the end of the workday and I showed up at his job. And when he saw me, his eyes was like that. And rather than hating him because obviously his political views and whatever, he misjudged me, he assumed certain things, and he just went off. And I sat down with him, and after I talked with him, I not only had a chance to share with him, prayed with him, he opened up and said, he deeply, deeply apologized. And I believe that I did more by going sit down and trying to bless him and talk to him than I would have did it by retaliating on Facebook. How many of you believe that? How many believe that love will win the day? And I'm helping some of you because when I look at some of your social media, when I look at some of your reactions, we're right now living in one of the most divisive times in America. And it's easy, listen to me, in heaven, I tell people all the time, there ain't going to be a black heaven. There's not going to be a white heaven. There's not going to be a Latino heaven, nor an Asian heaven, or whatever race or whatever culture. I'm talking about heaven going to be, the Bible said, John said, when I saw a picture of heaven, they were from every tribe, every race, every kindred, and every tongue. I want you to know they were all around the throne of God. I want you to know that's what heaven's going to look like. How many believe that's what the church ought to look like? Somebody say amen. But here, the only way the church is going to look like that, if we learn to love like Jesus, can I have an amen? We got to learn how to love like Jesus and be able to love people who don't vote like you, love people who don't look like you, love people who don't eat food like you eat. You're going to have to learn to love people who are different from you if we're going to love like Jesus. And lastly, as I close, Jesus said, we must pray for those who persecute us. Matthew 5:44, he said, listen, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray, say pray. Come on, say pray. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Praying for our enemies should be the first step and the most vital thing that we can do for people who are our enemies, who hate us, who use us, who despitefully. Listen, I hate to say it, we've seen it on both sides. Is both parties have been guilty. When Trump was president, we had whole parts of the African American community say, he's not my president, I won't pray for him. Now that Joe Biden is president and Kamala Harris, a black woman, is vice president, we got whole segments of the white community say, he's not my president, and I won't pray for them. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about the people in church. Imagine how grieved Jesus is. When we say, I'm talking about, they got the audacity to post it all over their social media. I'll never pray for him. He's not my president. I'll never pray that God bless him. One Christian had the audacity to write an article about loving like Jesus and praying for President Joe Biden. Imagine the very people he was a Trump supporter, and yet he wrote as a Christian to support that we to pray for President Joe Biden. And the very Christians who are his followers, they turned on him by the hundreds and began to call him every name under the book. My, we have lost our pea-picking mind. We have lost our sanctified soul. How many know it's time to get it back? I say, how many know it's time to get it back? Jesus is our example. Last scripture as I read, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says, and they called him every name in the book. And he did nothing, and he said nothing back. The King James said when he was insulted, he did not retaliate. Say, he did not retaliate. He did not retaliate when they insulted him, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hand of God who judged fairly. How many know God know how to right the wrong? And the way we leave our case in the hand of God is we bring it to Jesus in prayer. When people have wronged you, instead of getting back, instead of wanting to get revenge, bring them to Jesus. Lord, you say pray for them. Lord, you say to pray for them. So, Lord, I'm asking today, God, I'm obeying you. Lord, you do it. You, God, you make it right. You fix it, Jesus. Lord, you know how to get it right. And I believe that if we will learn to love like Jesus, our enemies, if we'll learn how to bless instead of curse. And I'm not just talking about what you say out of your mouth. I'm talking about what you think in your mind. If we'll learn to do good to those who hate us, and if we'll learn to pray for those who dislike us, use us, persecute us, then the Bible said, then we are acting like our Father in heaven, because he reigns on the just and the unjust. He let the sun shine on both. I want to close by praying. Listen to me. I believe that we're about to see the greatest revival we've ever seen. But God ain't going to bring people in here that you're going to hate and you're going to dislike. In order for us to receive the harvest God is going to bring, we got to love like Jesus loved. How many of you with a show of hands, you say, Pastor, today I want to love like Jesus. Raise your hand all over the place. Raise your hand. How many want to go one step further and say, Lord, today I'm praying. I want to stand. I'm going to say, Lord, I want you to help me to love like Jesus. If that's you, I want you to stand on your feet right where. If you say, I want to love like Jesus. Come on. How many want to be committed to loving like Jesus? Listen, today this is going to be a different sermon, because I want you to take a pen and paper today, sometime today, just like I did. And I want you to go down and write some names of people who no longer on your like list. I'm not just talking about who you hate. I'm talking about the people no longer on your like list. You don't like them. I'm talking about people who on your hate list. I'm talking about people who you, for whatever reason, you dislike them. You don't care for them. You don't like being around them. You know how you know you don't like people? You see them coming down the aisle on Walmart and you decide to go on the other aisle. That's a good sign. That's one of you people you don't like. You scrolling through social media, you see their page, you quickly go by their page because you don't want to read nothing they got to say. That's a sign that somebody you don't like. And Jesus said, if we're going to be like our Father in heaven, I want to be like Jesus, then we got to love our enemies. We can't do it in our own strength. I'm telling you, it takes the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for you that we will be known as a people who love like Jesus. That just like the 4th century church, when everybody was running from the plague, they ran to it. When everybody was trying to protect their own, they loved their lives to the death. They didn't care. They took care of even their enemies. That's what I want. I want us to be known for that. I believe there's enough people in this room alone that if we will dare to love like Jesus, this community will know that there's a people in this community. They're completely different. They're not known for whether they're Democrat or Republican. They're not known for whether they're Black Lives Matter or white supremacists. They're not known for whether they're some political or some group. No, they're Jesus people. They're Jesus people. How many want to be known for Jesus people? That's what Jesus wants. Let's put aside our political, our racial tags and our whatever it is, and let's be known as Jesus people. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those who are watching via Facebook and YouTube. I thank you for everyone. Listen, our world needs to see people who love like Jesus. You can't do it in your own strength. But today, we say, Lord, today, help me to love like Jesus. Come on, just say that. Say, Lord, help me to love like Jesus. To bless those who curse me. To do good to those who hate me. To pray for those who insult me. Lord, I want to love like you. Father, I pray all over this room, you hear our heart. Lord, I know we can't do it in our own strength. This is so radical to the world and the culture we're living in, where there's such a divide, where there's so much hate, where there's so much division. But Jesus, your way is better. We're asking today, Lord God, help us to love like you. I pray that, Lord, by this we'll be known that we your followers, because we love one another. I pray all over this room, Lord, those who didn't stand and those who stood, I pray that today, God, you'll do such a work in our hearts that in the world of injustice and a world of oppression and a world where there's so many people who are angry because of what's going on, that, God, we will learn to love our enemies, that we'll learn to bless and not curse, that we'll learn to do good rather than to hate, that, Lord, we'll learn to pray for our enemies. God, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for it. Come on, listen to me. We're going to love this community. Randy, let me just tell you, I'm telling you, I'm serving your notice. Listen, God bless us to get debt free, not so that we can heap it on ourselves, so that we can love our community. We're going to love this community like it's never been loved. Come on, I'm telling you, people going to know that we're his followers because we love Jesus. But I want to say this, listen, if you're here and you're going through a difficult time, I believe it always starts in the house. If you're, you know, we're going to take up, we collect our offering on the back. But if you're going through a difficult time financially, you're going through a hard time, I don't know everybody's need, but we are committed to loving like Jesus. And if we can help you, we want to help you. If we can, whatever the need is, if you may, it may not be a financial need, it might